Greetings to you today as we dive into scripture, and we're excited that you're here on the flip side of 21 is 2022. And so Thirsty Thursday continues on where we want to stay thirsty for more of God, more of God's word, and more of God's life for each of us in this world. So today I titled this, The Best is Yet to Come. The best is yet to come, a great way to start out. And we're reading from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And this is the wedding at Cana of Galilee. And here is the spoken word. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it, and when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord. So this is an important pause here at the launch of Jesus' ministry with these disciples, because in this story and the stories to come, they're getting what we'd say a revelation, an opening up to Jesus' power, the things that Jesus does, the miracles that he does. And it's hard for us to wrap our mind around this. We've only seen grapes being picked and put into vats or stomped by feet and then fermented. And there's a process, right? If you talk to someone who owns a vineyard. But for Jesus, there's this experience in this moment in time at a wedding banquet of turning water into wine. Now, it's important to note that wedding banquets often continued on for days, not like our events that maybe go on for, you know, 2 to 6 to 8 hours, something like that, that a wedding banquet was often days at a time. A gathering of family and friends and community, inviting people in, greeting the bride and bridegroom, and entertaining together, spending time in this story of life and love. But changing water into wine here is the first of those signs that Jesus performs in John's Gospels, and there's seven of them. And only John includes this event, so the other Gospels don't have this. And it's important to note, I used here a minute ago this word miracle, but John doesn't use the word miracle. It doesn't appear in the gospel, but it's sign. Okay, the word is not miracle, but sign. And the reason John's using that is because it's pointing to some truth about Jesus beyond the event itself. Okay, so a sign is pointing to a truth beyond the event itself, beyond the moment, whether it be a healing, a feeding, or a providing here. So what sign is this showing? What is the new thing that Jesus is pointing to beyond this event? We'll dive into that in a second. And then the other part is the mother of Jesus here, Mary, is only mentioned twice in this gospel, in the Gospel of John. Here we get this, and then at Jesus' own crucifixion in chapter 19. And so while never named, her presence in John's gospel frames Jesus' ministry. She is there throughout, being present with Jesus. And that companionship or that presence, again, draws that relationship from birth, now 30 years ago, to being present with Jesus in these events within community, and then at age 33 being there at his death. And only this mother, the mother of Mary, is able to tell the story of Christ from beginning to end. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this and read this gospel always, it causes me a quick full stop pause. Because there's a part where it says, and Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me?" Now, I don't know about you out there listening to this, but if I would have addressed my mother that way, it would not have gone well for me. Okay? And so let's do a full stop and pause and say, no, what might seem disrespectful here, I don't think Jesus is pointing to that, but certainly how we talk to each other does matter. And his mom follows up. Mary says to these other folks who are gathered around, just do what he's going to tell you to do. Which again, I think points to she has seen these signs over time, and now she's recognizing it's going to happen here too. So the wedding at Cana of Galilee is these first of the seven signs in the Gospel of John. And it's a great story of a wedding banquet. And as this party goes on, the resources for the party begin to run out. That's what's going to happen. The longer the party goes, there's going to be leftovers. The food trays are going to have just a few carrots and some overwarmed dip that's been sitting there too long. The drinks are running out. The ice is low. All of those things. And so that's when Jesus' mother asked for Jesus to do something about it. And what I love in this too is it helps us to say, the party that is happening, the wedding banquet, is to continue on. When we maybe feel lean in resource, lean in time, lean in energy, here's an image or a story that evokes, no, keep going, keep creating, keep living into, keep refueling, keep refreshing. Because this wedding banquet that is beginning, we say in faith, has no end. And we say that in our liturgy and in our faith, the thing that God has gotten started has no end. God continues to bring life. And so the steward now in the story, the one managing this party, is shocked that the good wine's being given out so late in the party. And there's this reference to, you know, well, why would you save the good stuff? Nobody really cares. They've already lost their taste buds. They're out of it a little bit. They don't really need the good stuff. But here, there's a reversal that's happening, I think. The great reversal is showing that, yes, even the good will come when we think things are ending. Even the good can be there in the later stages of things, when things seem to be winding down. Maybe this points to excellence. Maybe this points to the integrity or the time in which somebody's giving of themselves, that the whole matters, not just a piece or a part, but the whole event, the whole human, the whole person. And so the best is even given at the end means God is never done. Don't ever say God's done with me, no matter what's happened or how lean I might feel on things or what little faith I might have today. God is still going to bring out the very best. And I think this is one of the many signs that Jesus does that points to who God is. These glimpses begin to reveal the glory of God that's lived out in the person of Jesus. And if we think it's something that he can turn water into wine, or that he can heal a child, or that he can feed and multiply on a hillside, then certainly Jesus in his acts of mercy and compassion and care, something greater even is to come. And so when we point to resurrection, the best part of that life, resurrection hope, when all things seem lost and done, it's going to break through. Now, the life lesson for discipleship here, I think, too, is our God is a God that continues to pour out grace anew. The gifts of grace keep coming even when we least expect them. So we pay attention, right? We keep our eyes open, our ears open. And once we think we've gotten this God figured out, God's going to surprise us again. And we're going to say, I never saw that coming, or how could God do such a thing, right? But there's a sign that's pointing to something greater. So we want to think on the ways that God continues to surprise us, that God surprises us in this world. It's my Christmas Eve sermon that I gave to you about absolutely stunning. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, pull up that worship from Christmas Eve, that this absolutely stunning nature of God, that everything that God is about will stun us, but it stuns us in moving us to new life. And another part for the discipleship journey here is that God is never going to be done with us. I'd like to say that there's not a finish line or a prescribed end. Life is going to continue to flow on. So even when we think the end is near, new avenues of life and new opportunities are going to be brought forward into our life. Just because we can't always see it doesn't mean that that's not true, right? And so through valleys of grief and through times of struggle, we stay open. And we allow God to speak, we listen, and we look for those signs and wonders that God is still about. And so how are you today called to live within God's great surprises? What testimony do you give to the surprises that God brings into your life? As some of this new wine that he creates is there, we remember too that that wine was running out. So when wine runs out of your life, where are those places that Jesus is going to create the new wine and even better wine in your life? Right? You might be holding on to some of that wine that you had or thinking this is something I need to have in my life, but as that's running out and going away, what new wine is God creating in and through your life? And can you see that? And when it comes to faith and to growing and serving and praying, what's next? What's on your lips? What's on your heart? What is it that you want to lean into in ways that bring life, new fruit, new wine to the community called the church? All of this, great questions for us as a people of faith, as a local church, and how we live into the story of God. So a couple more elements. There's so much here. I could do an hour, but I'll try to bring it to a close here somewhat quickly. But when we look a little bit deeper into this story, Jesus also says, hey, my time is not yet come. He kind of snaps back and says, hey, my time's not yet come. Well, one of the gifts that we have been given in our lives is time. We have some time. One of the distinct challenges for humanity is what we choose to do with that time that we have. We can never get back this day that we've been given. We can never get back the 2 hours that we invested in our small group or in that servant opportunity. So how do we redeem the time that we do have so that it is like the good wine that Jesus would desire? When you think about wine as time, what's that good wine that Jesus would desire? I think today deeply about a dear friend of mine from seminary. I just got word this morning that he passed away of a heart attack last evening. But during seminary, we'd eat a lot of meals together. We'd work on theological papers together. And even throughout our calls, we kept touching base of what was going on in each of our unique settings together. And it was always a joy to get to see Gary and Linda. It's amazing, full-hearted people. And the thing about Gary is he loved to have fun. He loved joy in his life, but he loved to bring life to community. And he served many churches in interims and other capacities that were struggling in working to bring some new wine into those places. And I think he did that gracefully and wonderfully. And I know Gary really lived the time in which he was given. But his life ended far too soon, far too quick. I'm very sad over his passing. but the time that God gave him, the time in which he lived, he pointed to those signs of Jesus. And so he's now a saint, raised up to new life, but we remember him fondly. And so I'll close with this too. So we hear in 2 Corinthians that maybe we'll tie this together with the story of new wine. That it says, if anyone is in Christ, then they are a new creation. And so what difference does Christ make in your life where the old ways have passed away and the new ways of life have been grown? Where are those old ways passing away and the new ways of life being grown? You know, our lens to view the world is to view all people through the eyes of God and not through the lens of labels and sins and brokenness. And that's a challenging way to live, right? It's so easy to lead with that. But how can we live through the lens of God more? How can we take these stories pointing to the signs of God at work within people and saying, aha, that's it. I see God in you. I see new wine in you. I see God continuing to work through your life to the end and then even beyond that perceived end into this new thing that God is pouring out. And so today, church, new wine, the wedding at Cana. Think fondly over this. Think deeply about this. Wrestle with this a little bit as we enter into a new year here on Thirsty Thursday, a great text to launch us forward in grace and faith. All right, stay thirsty, my friends.